Amen. Good. Okay, maybe I should just wait. All right. Good morning, everybody. It's a privilege to share before you this morning. Before I, start sharing my thoughts, I would want us to say a very short prayer. God, thank you so much for this opportunity. I pray that, whatever I'm going to say today will be your word. I pray that it convicts me first, because this is something I'm really, really struggling with, and you're teaching me the, in a very, very interesting way. Let me not say the hard way. I pray that, you speak through me this morning and convict our hearts. In your son's name of prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I would start by saying, imagine what's the strongest army you can think of on this planet now, as we speak. The strongest army.
Chinese.
Okay. Ella said Chinese. Why Chinese?
Strongest.
Okay.
No.
Who else? Who are objects? So. U.S. Army? Okay, even though when I was writing this question, I was thinking about that. Well, Russian Army? Okay. All right. Anyways, so God's Army. Oh, wow. So imagine any of these armies. Let's take, which one?
Angels Army.
Angels Army.
Angels.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that's God's Army. Okay, great. So that we can be very practical, let's take something physical. Let's take, because we're in Deutschland, let's take the German army, for example.
No.
You guys don't want German army? Okay, let's take the Chinese army.
Okay.
Is that fine? Okay. And imagine you have the Chinese army at your call. You can command them. Like you are the grand commander of the Chinese army, and let's say 30 people come to you and say surrender. Would you surrender? Would you even consider surrendering? Will you? Anybody? You call it a bluff? I'll start laughing because it would be very funny. And this is something we started learning in my family group last week. I shared about the battle to surrender, and what I'll be sharing today is just like something that would even, it's not a continuation actually, it's like something that will complement what I shared last week in our family group. And this thing I said we should picture, this instance I just painted in our heads, is the exact thing that Jesus faced in the Garden of Gethsemane. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew 26. If someone can read briefly from verse 36 to 42.
Da kam Jesus mit ihnen zu einem Hofe, der hieß Gethsemane, und sprach zu seinen Jüngern: Setzet euch hier, bis dass ich dorthin gehe und bete.
42.
Und nahm zu sich Petrus und die zwei Söhne des Zebedäus und fing an zu trauern und zu sagen. Da sprach Jesus zu ihm: Meine Seele ist betrübt bis an den Tod. Bleibet hier und wachet mit mir. Und ging hin ein wenig, fiel nieder auf sein Angesicht und betete und sprach: Mein Vater, ist es möglich, so gehe dieser Kelch von mir. Doch nicht wie ich will, sondern wie du willst. Und er kam zu seinen Jüngern und fand sie schlafend. Und sprach zu Petrus: Könnet ihr denn nicht eine Stunde mit mir wachen? Wachet und betet, dass ihr nicht in Anfechtung fallt. Der Geist ist willig, aber das Fleisch ist schwach. Zum anderen Mal ging er wieder hin, betete und sprach: Mein Vater, ist es nicht möglich, dass dieser Kelch von mir gehe? Ich trinke ihn, denn so geschehe dein Wille.
Thank you very much, Kostya. I want us to just take note of two verses. And I just want us to try to imagine what is happening to Jesus from a psychological point of view. Verse 39b and verse 42. In verse 39b, he says, "My Father," he faced the ground and prayed and said, "If it is possible, my Father, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." And look at 42. He prayed again. He went a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." I want us to just picture that, what he was going through. He actually had his own will. He actually had his own power. He had his own will. But he still had to just, okay, this is not really what I want. But let your will be done. Let your will be done. I just want to establish that there were two wills there. And it wasn't an easy task for him to just submit to the other will. If we continue reading, because if you may continue, I mean, you read perfectly, from the same chapter, verse 48 to 52.
Und der Verräter hatte ihm ein Zeichen gegeben und gesagt, welchen ihr ich küssen werde, der ist es, dem greifet. Und es war, trat er zu Jesus und sprach, gegrüßet seist du, Rabbi. Jesus aber sprach zu ihm, mein Freund, warum bist du gekommen? Da traten sich hinzu und legten die Hände an Jesus und griffen. Und siehe, einer aus denen, die mit Jesus waren, regte die Hand aus dem zum Schwert aus und schlug des Hohepriesters Knecht und hieb ihm ein Ohr ab. Da sprach Jesus zu ihm, stecke dein Schwert an seinen Ort, und wer das Schwert nimmt, der soll durchs Schwert umkommen.
52. Okay. All right. If I would read further, just 53 and 54 in English, it says, "Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Without them will the scripture be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way." And like I said, in my family group, we started learning about the battle to surrender last week. And 2 points we majorly dwelled on was that the first thing, God wants the best for me. And the second thing is surrendering means 100%. Not 50%, not 75%, not 99%. And we were able to establish also that it is not easy. It is not easy at all to surrender. It's a very difficult thing. Especially when you are a human being and you have your brain. I mean, God gave you your brain for you to think, for you to be instinctual, but intuitive. But you still have to just fulfill that, obey that scripture in Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6 that says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding." So those were the things we just to summarize what we did last week. So today I'll be talking about just 2 points to complement what we talked about last week. And the first point I'll be sharing is God knows the beginning from the end. I mean, the end from the beginning. God knows the end from the beginning. And that's because he knows the best for me. And the second point that we talked about last week was surrender means 100%. And because it means 100%, let us surrender to God because he is capable. I would not be reading many scriptures. I would just read one scripture for 1 point. But I would give us scriptures, you know, we can always refer to at home for time's sake. And the scripture I'll be reading for the first point is Romans 8, verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. The point again is God knows the end from the beginning. Can someone read in Deutsch, please?
Wenn Wir wissen aber, dass denen, die Gott lieben, alle Dinge zum Besten dienen. Denen, die nach dem Vorsatz berufen sind.
And it's, even though I know the scripture, I've known the scripture since I was probably in 6 to 7 or 8 to 9. It's a scripture they ask us to memorize every time in church, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. You know, it's very difficult for me sometimes when things are happening to me. I get so scared, I forget about the scripture. I panic. You know, when I'm running out of time, when I'm making applications and I'm getting rejections and I'm looking at many factors, it's very difficult for me to refer to examples in the Bible where Abraham had to go through what he went through before he became father of all nations. It's very difficult for me to refer to scriptures where Joseph had to become a slave for doing nothing. And he was put in prison for being innocent. It's very difficult for me to connect. But I know those stories. I know those stories. And like I said, God knows the end from the beginning. Because for me, time is 24 hours. You know, 24 hours, the time on our planet. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 52 weeks a year, 365, and when it adds up, it makes me panic when things are not getting done on my to-do list, when my objective is not being met. And the position of our planet on our solar system defines what we call time. But to God, God is out of time. I mean, not out of time late, but it is out of time. What do I mean by this? You know, our rotation gives us, you know, our rotation is what causes our season. The rotation of the earth, the way it rotates, revolution causes our, you know, day and night. That's why we have 365 days and nights in a year, right? If you go to planet Venus, the next planet to the earth, it's very different. Just one night there, one night or one day night is equal to 243 earth days. So two nights, it's just two nights in planet Venus, it's more than a year on Earth. If you go to Mars, it's something different entirely. So God is not bound by my 7 days, is not bound by my 1 year. God is out of space and time. So when things are happening and I'm like, I'm running late, God is, he's seen the beginning from the end. He knows how, the end from the beginning. He knows how everything is going to play out. He knew before Joseph went into Egypt, before he became a slave, he knew what was going to turn out. He knew all the journey he was going to put Abraham to, even before he went to the mount where he wanted him to sacrifice Isaac. He knew he was going to put a lamb there. He knew. God knew. He knows everything. So one of the things that happened to me as a human being is, it's not that I have not experienced God's miracle. It's not that I don't know how wonderful He is. But when I'm hit by some major storms, I begin to panic. You know, and because I don't know what else. I don't know what's next. I know I was having this, one of the funniest conversations I've had with on issue of application, when I was applying for internship and thesis was with Ella. And one of the things Ella mentioned was, I think sometime last year, he said there was a time he used to think like that too. Like, he used to think about, but he thinks it's not possible. Is it possible for him to grow up, get married, have children, and not have internship? It's not possible. So he has to keep applying. Instead of panicking and worrying, just keep applying. You know, it's like being futuristic, you know. But me, I cannot see the next thing. I don't know what is going to happen next. I don't know if I don't get this one, like, I would die. You know, I don't know if this scholarship I'm applying for, I don't get the next funding, I would die because of the law of uncertainty. because I'm just a man, I'm human. And that's what I think happened to the Israelites in Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 to 18. We don't have to... Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 to 18. We don't have to turn our Bibles there. We can always refer there, because the story is when the Israelites, after witnessing all the plagues in Egypt, like God's mighty hand, and they got to the Red Sea, and they started complaining. Then they started telling Moses, "Aren't there enough places for us to be buried in Egypt? Why did you bring us here? How to die? Why did you..." You know, and when I'm reading this, I'm like, oh, these guys are so ungrateful. These guys are so fearful. But I can be like that too. In fact, I'm usually like that too. There are times I've gone on my knees, I've cried, "God, why did you even bring me out of Nigeria to Germany? Did you bring me to Germany to suffer?" You know? Another scripture that makes me understand that God knows the end from the beginning. I mean, apart from this one, because God knows, he knew he was going to part the Red Sea before they got there. God knows, you know, everything. But we're humans, and the Israelites were humans, they didn't know. Another scripture that reaffirms this fact is when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And that's in John chapter 11, verse 32 to 44. Like I said, we can always read the scriptures later. John 11, 32 to 44. The story is about when Jesus was told that Lazarus, you know, was sick, you know, and was going to die. And when Jesus got there, in fact, people said, "Can this person who has made the blind to see not raise this man from the dead? If Jesus had been here earlier, perhaps he would have been able to save this man's life." You know, and Jesus knew he was going to raise him from the dead. He knew it was going to do. He knew it was, his body was going to decompose like 4 days. He knew everything. He knew everything before he did it. So for me, when things are spoiling, everything is in chaos, everything is in disorder, entropy is at its highest, God knows everything. He has everything under control. For me, it is out of control. But for God, it's within control. So I need to reassure myself that God is aware of all these things happening around me, all this storm. He knows how it's going to end. He knows how it's going to end. And if I would refer to the scripture we read last week for this first point, it's Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. It's a scripture we all know. It was something God told prophet Jeremiah to tell the Israelites in Babylon. Then he said, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, but not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So I need to reassure myself, irrespective of what I'm going through, as long as I do not depart from God's will, He has great plans for me. He has great plans for me. That's true with the first point. Like I said, we said last week, we talked about surrendering is not 50%, it's not 90%, it's not 99%, it's 100%. Even though it's the hardest thing for me to do. The second point of today is, let's surrender to God because He is capable. You know, it's like I said in the first instance we painted, or not just I said, we all agree it's difficult. It's like bluffing when you are told to surrender to a group of 30 people that just walk up to you and say, "Hey, surrender," when you have the army of, we agreed on China, right? Yeah, you have the army of China. It's difficult. But we're talking about God here. And there is a video I saw when I was in the teens ministry, and it's one of the best videos I've seen. For some reason, I couldn't get it. But we can look it up on Google. I think you can find it on Google. It's called Indescribable. The guy is into astronomy, and he makes a lot of deep findings that really wows, you know, the majesty of God. That makes us, you know, to be wowed by the majesty of God. And I mean, because I can't find a video, I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 40 verse, I'll read from verse 25 to 26 first. Or can someone read in Deutsch? I think that would be better. Isaiah 40, 25 to 26.
Wem wollt ihr denn mich nachbilden, wenn ich gleich sei? Spricht der Heilige. Hebet eure Augen in die Höhe und seht, wer hat solche Dinge geschaffen und führt ihr her bei der Zeit heraus? Er ruft sie alle mit Namen. Sein Vermögen und seine Kraft ist so groß, dass es nicht an einem fehlen kann.
Alright. Now, this scripture. This verse 26, we can take hours, but we want to really, really amplify it. It says, he who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Let's talk about the starry host. Let's talk about stars. In our own solar system, our sun is our star, you know? That's why it's solar system. And the earth is so tiny. So tiny compared to our sun. In fact, we can fit 1.3 million earths in our sun. That's how tiny our earth is. Now, interestingly, our very big sun is not among the biggest suns, biggest stars in our galaxy. It's just average size. There are some stars that's 1,000 times bigger than ours, our own star. In fact, there are some solar system with two stars still in our galaxy. Now, in our own galaxy, our Milky Way galaxy, we have over 100 billion stars. That's a lot. Now, there are estimations that there can be more, or even times four, but at least we have over 100 billion stars. Imagine 100 billion stars, and if each star can take 1.3 million Earths, how tiny we really are. Now, that's talking about our own galaxy that is called the Milky Way. There are billions, over 10 billion galaxies in the observable part of the universe. The one we have been able to observe. Over 10 billion. Over 10 billion galaxies, of which one galaxy has over 100 billion stars, of which one star can take like 1.3 million Earths. That's a lot. So when the Bible says starry host, it's actually a host. And this is very, very, very scary. The kind of God we serve. He says he brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Not by number, by name. When I meet people at conferences, I usually forget their name before the end of the conference. Has it happened to anybody here?
No.
Like, maybe not Kostia. Before the end of the conference, when I see the person, I'm like, oh God, I don't want the person to know, I've forgotten the name. It happens to you? Oh, amen, I'm not the only one. You know, I forget people's name at times. You know? And guess what? God calls them each by name. And I mean, and the verse that comes after it complements. It said, because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. And that's God. So he's awesome. He's very awesome. He's awesome, scarily awesome. And when I read this, I should surrender to him. Just surrender. You know, I'm reading the book of Ezekiel now, and Ezekiel said when he saw what seemed like the glory of the Lord, he said he fell face down. You know, so I should surrender. And this is my whatever brain I have, whatever smartness I think I have, it is grossly, you know, dwarfed before God's foolishness. So I should surrender. And this is what I'm teaching myself. Even though I really pray I get there, I'm not there yet. The book a brother gave me in church, Kostia, by the way, because of this challenge I have, is The Victory to Surrender, that I've been reading for months now. But the title of our message is not The Victory, because I am not victorious on it yet. I'm still struggling with it. I call it The Battle to Surrender. If we continue reading the same chapter from 27 to 31, Costa, can you please?
27?
Yes, please, to 31.
Warum sprichst du denn, Jakob, und du, Israel, sagst, mein Weg ist dem Herrn verborgen und mein Recht geht vor meinem Gott vorüber? Weißt du nicht, dass du nicht gehört? Der Herr, der ewige Gott, der die Enden der Erde geschaffen hat, wird nicht müde noch matt. Sein Verstand ist unausforschlich. Er gibt den Müden Kraft und Stärke genug dem Unvermögen. Die Knaben werden müde und matt und die Jünglinge fallen. Aber die auf den Herrn fahren, kriegen neue Kraft, dass sie auffahren mit Flügeln wie andere, dass sie laufen und nicht matt werden, dass sie wandeln und nicht müde werden.
Thank you so much. So if this mighty God is telling me this, that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. If he's saying they will soar on wings like eagles, they will run and not grow weary, they will walk and not be faint. If this awesome God is telling me that, then why shouldn't I surrender? I should surrender. I should surrender. I pray I get to that point in my life when I want to be able to pray one day when I'm having issues with anything. Just pray and go to sleep. I'm not at that level yet. I don't know if anybody's at that level yet. Sometimes when I pray, I wrestle, I fast. Then I go to bed and I'm still thinking about what I prayed about. Oh God. Does it happen to anybody here? Or am I the only guilty one? I'm the only guilty one. Ouch. Then I shouldn't be preaching this. But I'm just confessing. This is me. I mean, you can ask me in the future. I mean, ask me in the next few weeks. Victor, how is it going? I pray sometimes. I'm praying. I say, God, let your will be done. Okay? Then I open one eye and I say, God, you know, I really want that stuff. So I'm submitting, but I'm also influencing. You know, I want to get to that level when I can just surrender to God. Surrender to God. You know, and that's my very two little copper coins for us today. That the battle to surrender, first point, that God knows the end from the beginning. I am seen from just one dimension. God is seen from, it's not even 3D, probably 7D. He knows everything. That's why it is his story. That's why it's history, you know? He's God. And the second point is, you surrender to him because he is capable. He's capable. Amen. That's it.